The Old Testament reading for our celebration of the Nativity of our Lord comes from the prophet Isaiah, the 52nd chapter. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, "Your God reigns." The voice of your watchmen, they lift up their voice. Together they sing for joy. For eye to eye they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth together into singing, you waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. This is the word of the Lord. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given,
and the government shall be upon his shoulder.
And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God,
Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Sing to the Lord a new song.
For he has done marvelous things.
The epistle reading, which serves as the text for our sermon this morning, comes from the letter to the Hebrews, the first chapter. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my Son, today I have begotten you"? Or again, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son"? And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." Of the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. But of the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. And you, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. Like a robe you will roll them up. Like a garment they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end." This is the word of the Lord. We rise and sing together the Alleluia. The Gospel comes to us according to St. John, the first chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the Gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What child is this laid to rest? That's kind of a silly question today, isn't it? I mean, it's Christmas. What other child would it be? It's Jesus, of course. Who would even think to ask, what child is this? But still, the question stands. We know it's Jesus, but who exactly is Jesus? Who are we celebrating today? Why do we gather together today and every Sunday to worship? Now, there are many, many answers that have been offered to that question of who is Jesus. Some say that he's a very good moral teacher, somebody who came to show us how to live a better life. Some say he was a social activist who came to change things. Some say he's nothing at all, a figment of our imagination or a thing made up by the church in order to slap people in line and make them behave. Many, many answers have been given to what child is this. So how can we know? How can we know who Jesus is? Because let's face it, we are many years and many, many miles separated from where Jesus was. How can we know what child this is? Well, we can know by going to the one infallible source, the Word of God. We can look to the Word that came to us in the flesh. And there we will find that this is no ordinary child, but rather this truly is a reason to celebrate, not just at Christmas, but each and every day of our lives. Some people speculate that Jesus was a heavenly being of some kind, but not really God. They say that's impossible because there is only one God, and God is infinite, and God could not possibly be contained within the flesh. Now, as I've cautioned people many, many times in Bible studies, anytime you speak a sentence that says, God could not, you are automatically in wrong waters. You see, he is God. He is more than an angel. The letter to the Hebrews makes that very clear, because at the time there was a lot of speculation that Jesus was an angel. He was something, a divine being who came just to bring us more of God's word. But like the author says, to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? Or again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. The angels are fantastic. The angels are phenomenal, heavenly, divine beings. They are perfect. They are mighty. When we read about the angels in Scripture, it is not the idea that we have on Hallmark cards and whatnot. Not once in the Bible, when somebody sees an angel, is their response, aw, how cute. The first thing that almost every angel has to say when they appear to mortals is, do not fear. Because they are mighty. They are awesome. They are holy and without sin. And when we sinners see that kind of might and power, it is beyond our comprehension, and we are right to fear and tremble. That's the power of an angel. And that's the power that Jesus absolutely supersedes. Because what good would it be if God had simply sent another angel? Many angels appeared all throughout Scripture, in the Old Testament and the New. And what was their purpose? Their purpose was to speak the Word of God, to be His ministers. The word angel in Greek simply means messenger. And that is exactly what they were. They came to earth to bring the Word of the Lord to us mortals, to speak God's Word, to tell us of God's will. Now, certainly Jesus did that, so you can see where people might think he was an angel. But you see, he did so much more than just an angel. He did so much more than just speak that word and tell us what we were to do. Jesus came to do something far, far greater than an angel ever could. And so some say, sure, he's better than an angel because he had even no opportunity to sin. We know that some of the angels fell into sin. We know that Satan himself once was an angel who rebelled against God. And so they say, yes, he is far above the angels. And he came to do something that the angels never could, to live a life in our flesh, to set a great example, to show mankind the way, how to live God's word perfectly. And truly, Jesus Christ did that. Absolutely, he lived a life without sin, without rebellion, without straying even once from the word of the Lord. And that is something phenomenal. But that is also something that we as sinners simply cannot do. If Jesus came just to set a good example, to show us that it can be done, then what hope do we have? What reason do we have to even be here celebrating if he came to walk a path that we have no hope of ever walking? If he came to say, this is what you have to do, and we've already blown it, then why waste our time? Why bother coming out on this day? Why bother putting up lights and singing songs and celebrating anything if Jesus just came to lay out a path that we have no hope of walking? Well, some people say, then you have to listen better to Jesus. You have to listen to him because he was a good teacher. And if you truly listened, if you truly did what he said, well, then you could walk that path. Once again, that sounds great on paper. But in reality, we simply can't. We cannot uphold the teachings of Jesus Christ perfectly. The Bible makes that very clear from the beginning. We are sinners in thought, word, and deed, and we know what God's standard is. Heaven is perfection. Heaven is holiness. Heaven is no sin whatsoever, and all it takes is one sin to disqualify you. And we have committed far more than one sin. We sin daily. We sin by the second. We sin in the backs of our minds without even thinking about it. We sin in our sleep. We sin in everything that we do. As we confess, we are by nature sinful and unclean. And that doesn't mean that we just sin from time to time and can't control it. That means sin is who we are. We are poor, miserable sinners. We are corrupted to the core. And everything that we do is sinful and selfish. Everything that we do opposes the word of the Lord on our own. And so if Jesus is just a good teacher, somebody who comes to lay out lessons for us to follow, again, we are lost, and we have no reason to celebrate whatsoever. So what child is this? Why are we here? Why do we rejoice at the birth of this child? We rejoice because he is everything that God said he would be. He is our Savior. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He is far greater than the angels, far greater than just a good teacher, far greater than just a good example for us to follow. He is God himself in our flesh. And though that might seem impossible, though people might say, well, that could never be, it is God. And with God, all things are possible. And for that, we give thanks each and every day. For had Jesus not been God himself in the flesh, we would still be in the same sinking boat of sin. We would still be lost and condemned creatures, deserving only of God's eternal wrath by the sinners that we are. But because Jesus is God in the flesh, because he is the promised Messiah, the Savior, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, we rejoice continually. Because this tiny baby that came to us, so meek and humble, this child that was born not in a palace, not with great trumpet fanfares, not worshipped by the entire world, but by shepherds in the field watching their flock by night, this child is the one who came to take away the guilt of our sin. And this too he did, not with great fanfare, not in the way that the world expected, not even to give us earthly peace, as so many people want to think. But this child came to take upon himself every one of your sins, to take all of your guilt, all your transgression, all your wretchedness, to take it from you and lay it upon his own holy, perfect, and spotless self. He took your sin upon himself, and in turn he gave you his robe of righteousness, so that now in the eyes of the Lord you are without sin. You are holy, innocent, and righteous. Your sin has been removed from you as far as the east is from the west, for it has been laid upon Jesus Christ. And he then took that sin to the cross. During Christmas, we don't like to think about the cross. We don't like to think about death. We don't like to think about what's going to happen to this small child. But nails, spear shall pierce him through. And the cross will be borne for me, for you. This is why we rejoice. Not that Jesus had to die, but that Jesus chose to die for you. Jesus Christ, this tiny infant laid in the manger, God himself in the flesh, willingly gave himself over to death for you. Your sin was nailed to the cross with Jesus Christ, never to result in your eternal condemnation again. Your sin was taken from you, washed from you. Though you were like scarlet, you have been made white as wool by the blood of the Lamb. This is the child that we gather together today and always to rejoice over. A child who grew to be the man who was willing to die for you, who was willing to endure the eternal agony that should have been yours and took it upon himself. He suffered, died, and was buried, but on the third day he rose again from the grave for you. For even death is not strong enough to defeat our Lord. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, the one through whom and for whom all things were made, the Word made flesh, he is the master of even death. And as he burst from the tomb, as the stone was rolled back to show the world that he is not there, but he is risen as he said, we rejoiced because his victory is our victory. In his resurrection, we see our resurrection as well. The flesh that was born of the Virgin Mary, the flesh that was laid in the manger, that was nailed to the cross, that same flesh rose again, just as our flesh will as well. We too, by grace, through faith, as we look to the cross and the empty tomb of Jesus Christ and nowhere else, we are given not just hope, but the absolute guarantee of everlasting life in heaven. That's why we rejoice. Because Jesus is not just an angel, not just a really good person, not just a teacher who came to lay out a path that we have no hope of actually walking, but Jesus Christ, true God in our flesh, is our Savior and our Lord. He is the one that we worship with great joy each and every day, for he is the one who has crushed the serpent's head, who has set us free from sin, death, and the devil, and who has given us the absolute guarantee of everlasting life in heaven. What child is this? This is Christ the King, the promised Messiah who has come to save us. Nails, spear shall pierce him through, but out of a divine love that we will never understand, he willingly endured all of that to restore you as his beloved child, so that you, a sinner, could be with him for all eternity in that spotless, glorious, heavenly paradise that he has prepared for you, that he has won for you, and that he has promised he will return again to bring you to be with him. And so rejoice, dear Christian, for the babe, the Son of Mary, is Emmanuel, God with us. And by his divine birth, by his life, death, and resurrection, you are forgiven of every one of your sins, and eternal life in heaven is yours. To God alone be all glory, now and forever. Amen.